Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. You have said, "Seek my face."
My heart says to you, "Your face, Lord, do I seek."
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold.
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes.
It is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy.
I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud.
Be gracious to me and answer me.
You have said, "Seek my face."
My heart says to you, "Your face, Lord, do I seek."
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You have said, "Seek my face."
My heart says to you, "Your face, Lord, do I seek."
The Old Testament reading for the 20th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads, and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the days are evil, how easy it is for us to forget this simple truth. It really shouldn't be that easy. It's pretty easy, in fact, to look around and see this truth, to see that even though we are living in a world of wars and rumors of wars, that this is the truth, that it's not supposed to be this way, that this is evil. Again, this should be relatively easy for us to see because we know the truth not only of other people's evil, but we know the truth of our own evil. We know that everybody else is just like us. So it shouldn't be easy to forget this truth, and yet we seem to do it anyways. And part of that is because this is one of the ways that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature try to trick us. They try to convince us that this, what we have now, is as good as it can be. That there is no other place that's better. That there's nothing better to look forward to. And that because of that, well, you might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that is not the truth of Scripture. The truth of Scripture teaches us that it's going to get better, but not in this world. The truth of Scripture teaches us that there is so much better to look forward to, but not in this world. And the truth of Scripture is even that we should eat, drink, and be merry, but not in this world. One of the most prominent images of the new creation is that of the wedding feast, which we heard Jesus tell a parable about today. The truth of Scripture is this, that this world that we live in now used to be perfect, but now is not. That the time that we live in, the days that we live in, are in fact evil. And the reason for this fall of creation, is because the devil rebelled against God and came here. But you know, even that wouldn't have actually done it. What ultimately corrupted this world is that when he came here, he successfully managed to trick Adam and Eve into eating the forbidden fruit. And it is through us that evil and death entered the world. And you know, if we had been God, it would have been very tempting for us to simply push the reset button, and be like, oh well, that didn't work, let's try it again. But God, thankfully, is not us. God loved us too much to simply start over. And he had known that this would happen. And he had a plan. He sent his son to pay for our sin. Instead of allowing us to suffer the very just punishment that we deserved, God himself took those punishments upon himself. The Son came, took upon flesh, and died. And you know, sometimes we sort of imagine that it was all that physical suffering on the cross and the death itself that was the punishment that Jesus had taken. And make no mistake, that is part of it. But ultimately, the real punishment that he took upon himself is made clearly obvious to us when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Father had forsaken the Son. The Father poured out his cup of wrath on the Son. The Father inflicted the punishments that we deserved in hell on his Son. All so that his Son could earn our forgiveness, could earn our salvation, could, in fact, earn us a place in the new creation. And the Son knew this. The Son was part of the planning process. He knew what he was going to have to suffer, and he came and did it for us. And he was successful. He then promised that though he would leave us for a time, that he would soon come back. And that when he came back, he would destroy the current heavens and earth, and that he would make a new creation that he would welcome all of us into. Which is part of what you heard again in our gospel reading for today. So then, as we who know the truth, as we who know that these days are evil, that this world has been corrupted, that we have been corrupted, but that we have also been saved, how do we live in these evil days as those who are wise rather than being those who are unwise? Well, Paul gives us a list. Because he likes to give us lists. And so the first thing that he tells us to do is to recognize that time is limited. And this is an important thing to keep in mind. No one has forever. We see in the Old Testament in particular, but also in the New Testament, that God's patience does have a limit. There is a limit to the time that God will wait. We do know why God's waiting. God's waiting right now because he desires as many people to be saved as possible. He's waiting so that he can continue to save people, continue to give them faith. But there will come a time when he will wait no longer. And once that time has passed, there will be no hope for the rebel. There will be no hope for those who trust in God. As he says in our Old Testament reading, seek him while he is there. Look for him while he is waiting, while his patience is still here. This is when we need to repent. This is when we need to believe. The second thing that Paul lists there, I already talked about because I got ahead of myself, which is to understand the will of God. Why is he waiting so long? because he wants people. He loves people. He does not want to send anyone to hell. He desires that all would be saved. But some refuse to be saved. And God will not wait forever. The third thing that Paul tells us is to not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, we are not to eat, drink, and be merry here in this world. And there's lots of reasons that people will do this. Paul is actually fighting a little bit against one of the kind of prominent philosophies of the time. They really believe that since there is nothing after this life, you might as well just enjoy this life to the fullest. And how many times have you heard people express that sentiment in our world? But Paul here says, teaching, that we shouldn't just drown ourselves in alcohol or any other kind of thing like that as we wait. And recognize that it doesn't have to be drug-based or substance-based when we do that. It's easy to drown yourself in any sort of pleasure. But instead, we should be sober-minded. We should keep our wits about us. We should be thinking. We should be planning. We should be striving to do the things that God wants us to do here in this world. And instead of being drunk with wine, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. But do recognize that when Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit does not look like you're drunk. There's some people that sort of think that. They think that when the Spirit comes upon you that you're just going to kind of be super happy and overjoyed, and it might look a little bit like you're drunk. That's not what we're called to. We are still called to be sober-minded, even as we're being filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be with the one who comes to us in the means of grace. He comes to us. He promises to come to us through word and sacrament. You are about to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You were already filled with him when he came to you in baptism, and you're about to receive him again through our Lord's very own body and blood. And also, we are free to try and share the Spirit with others, using those very same means through which he comes to us, primarily through his word, where he promises to come to those who hear him. And as we gather together, we aren't just supposed to ignore each other. It's not like we are alone in this. But instead, we should address each other. And notice how the Lord says, or notice how Paul tells us to do this. We should address each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. We are to be singing to each other. We are to address each other with psalms, and primarily, of course, that means the psalms that are in the Bible. There's 150 of them, or 151, depending on how you count. We are to address each other in hymns. Hymns, which are primarily songs that we have brought together for worship and for striving to teach each other something, as well as singing spiritual songs to each other. These are the songs that speak of spirituality, the songs that speak of our praise for our Lord, the songs that speak of what he has done for us. We are to sing these to each other to remind each other, to let each other know that we aren't alone. We are together. And that our Lord has not forgotten us. We sing. We make melody. And we do it all to the Lord with our heart. It's okay to feel things when you're singing about the Lord. In fact, it's good to feel things when you're singing to the Lord. That's part of the point of music. Music is about feeling things. And in all of these things, we give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know the days are evil, but we will get through these evil days. Not by drowning ourselves in alcohol or pleasure or whatever. Not by pretending that this is the best it's going to get. Not by trying to make this world perfect. No, we will get through this world by the Holy Spirit, who will get us through this world, who will speak to us of the truth of what he has done for us. The days are evil. Trust in the Lord, who will one day punish evil, but not yet, for he desires salvation for all. Therefore, we live different, we act different, we sing different in this world, and we do all of that in the hope that the Spirit will use our sharing of the word to save others before it is too late. We do this all, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, because we know that Christ wants them just as much as he wants us. And therefore, we look different. We act different. We sing different, because we are different. Because we know the truth, and we are free to trust in that truth. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.